So this. So when it calls for things and events of the existence, so we see that it is classified to the phenomena and person. Although the persons can be subsumed under phenomena, but we classify that on the basis that the person and other than the person as a phenomena. So because that the things can be classified into two, phenomena and the person, so the kind of the independent mode on the person is called as the self of the person, and the independent mode of existence of phenomena is the self of phenomena. And the absence of that mode, the self or the independent mode of the person, is called the selflessness of person, and the absence of the intrinsicality or the independent mode upon the phenomena is called as the ultimate reality or the selflessness of phenomena. So all those who are proponents of this the idea of the selflessness, so they all agree to the existence of the self or the person. So this self, according to Chittamatra or the mindfulness school, posit the self to be impersonal. Whereas they say that this self, when analyzed according to Chittamatra or the mindfulness school, they say this self is the basis, though it by itself is impersonal phenomena, and yet if analyzed, so they claim that they can find some substantial self, which they point to the mind or the Aliviyan, the basis of all consciousness, as the self, the substantial self. And whereas, according to the Chandrakirti, the propounder of Prasangika Madhyamika, who explicitly presents or interprets Nagarjuna's intention perfectly, so there he says that this self analyzed cannot be found among his body, among his the mind, not even a particle can be traced to as a self or the person. So then the special, the unique proposition of Chandrakirti to interpret Nagarjuna would be to say that the self has no independent or no intrinsic reality. But by listening to the authentic texts of Nagarjuna, Arideva, etc., and explanatory commentaries, and establish the right view with an intelligence distinguishing interpretative and ultimate as the causal connection, the definiteness of special insight. So, and there is a special thing about the ego, the self-grasping over the self. So here, the very basis upon which the independent mode is being grasped at, the very basis, the self. So this self is then classified to the self or the mind. So naturally, when we say self, this is to do with the self. And again, when we speak about the mind, well, that is my thing. So that again involves the element of self. So then grasping the independent mode on top of the self or the mind would be called as the self-grasping. Particularly, the mode of establishing the view is in three parts. First, identifying the deluded ignorance, to grasp having existence in the object by its own nature, and not that they are established by the power of thought from beginningless time, is the mode of true grasping of the object of negation, The object of his determination is called self or nature, and the two absences of such on the basis of personal phenomena are the two selflessness. Hence, the two mental clingings of such existence on that very basis are also two self-graspings. Although some Madhyamakas enter the Madhura Samana in the schools, except the object of self-grasping for person or grasping of the mere I, but when asked about the example of that mere I, they individually say that the basis of all, or the Alivigyan, mental consciousness, etc., is example, but in this system, the mere I, which is the object of generation of feeling of mere I, is considered as its object. Not grasping the aggregate as its example, even for a moment, is a unique feature of this system. Similarly, it is taught that object of innate mind, thinking, this is mine, is also merely mindness, and do not hold one's eye, nose, etc. And the self-grasping, or the grasping over the inherency or independent mode, can be classified into two: innately arising self-grasping and the philosophically acquired self-grasping. So the innately existent self-grasping would be those self-graspings which arise in us spontaneously without the need of any thinking or reflection or reasoning. And whereas the one philosophically acquired should be something that arises because of one's habituation or familiarization or introduction to some philosophical tenets. Not grasping the aggregate as its example, if it is the object of the innate view of transitory collection, it should produce automatically the feeling of I or mine. Hence the mind of the individual Devadatta grasping chosen by the person as inherent existent is not the view of transitory collection, but innate self-grasping. The object of innate self-grasping of phenomena is physical aggregates, I, nose, the world of environment, etc. An aspect is one having the mode of apprehension of grasping both phenomena and person as having inherent existence. The showing that is the root of wandering in the cycle of existence. Hence, these two, the grasping of person and the grasping of phenomena, are not merely the grasping of person as permanent, one and independent, due to philosophical imagination or the imputation, and the grasping of phenomena to hold the subject and the object as substantially separate is not a mere exaggeration, since these are present even with those that spent many lives as animals and who are independent from the contaminations of the fault of philosophy. Therefore, these are called innate self-grasping. In view of a transitory collection is the root of cyclic existence, since true grasping of aggregate is truly the root of cyclic existence. So, all these graspings, whether the grasping of this self of the person or phenomena, so in order to eradicate, so that cannot be done by merely making prayers and so forth. Rather, they have to be done, first of all, through identifying that very self-grasping mind, and next by identifying that to be mistaken or distorted mind in terms of apprehension. So, in order to identify or to recognize that this self-grasping is a mistaken mind, we have to first of all again know that the object as apprehended by this self-grasping is something non-existent. For example, if you think that the coil of a rope is a snake, so that sense of fear can be eradicated only by way of knowing that the thing which appeared to be a snake is indeed not a snake, rather a coiled rope. Only by knowing that the thing which is apprehended by the mistaken mind apprehending the coil of rope as a snake, Only by knowing the absence of the object as apprehended by mistaken mind can only eradicate the fear generated because of this mistaken mind. In a similar way, the way and manner in which you have to eradicate the self-grasping mind, which is the root cause of all the secondary delusions and the respective karma, and the consequences, the sufferings as the consequence. So eradicate all these things, so we need to know the idea of the selflessness. In view of a transitory collection is the root of single existence. Since true grasping of aggregate is truly the root of single existence, this implies two different categories of the root of single existence. If thus asked, the first is the cause and the last is the result. Even though the object of focus oppose the object of apprehension are in harmony, hence I do not have the set fold. I'm also free from the set fold because I accept the view of transitory collection as the ignorance possessing true grasping. The reason why you should seek the view of realizing selflessness if you desire to eliminate that ignorance, since it is said that the seed of existence can be eliminated if selflessness is seen in the object, hence the object as it's been grasped by the self-grasping is negated, all faults of delusions will cease.